Hey everybody, it's the Nobody Likes Casey McClain podcast. This is Casey McClain. I took a week off. I actually had planned on doing a podcast. I started it a bunch of times because my Uncle Bob passed away last week. So the reason I recorded a bunch of podcasts, first one, honestly, I got like a little more emotional than I wanted to on microphone. And then after that, it was like, I kind of felt like my cousin, who is his son, had not posted anything on social media to that point. And I kind of wanted to like, you know, give him some space if he wanted to deal with that on social media and not put that shit on, I didn't want to force him to like talk about it publicly. It's not like he's a public figure, but I don't know. I just want to give him the opportunity. I think that's fair. I mean, I'm a narcissistic monster, so anytime I'm not even that bad for a comic, but anytime I'm taking like a less narcissistic path, not making content out of tragedy, it's probably a good choice. My Uncle Bob was a cool guy. I will say I got to meet my Uncle Bob. He was, I'm 36. I'll be 37. Probably when you're listening to this, it'll be, whatever it is. It's, Sunday. I turned 37. And he would have been July 1st. He would have been 28 years sober. And in the period of time when I was alive and he wasn't sober, he wasn't exactly making it to a lot of family functions. Also, I have allergies, which is not me trying to shy away from my own emotions. I am emotional. I cried quite a bit the day my Uncle Bob died. Last Wednesday, I believe. So like almost 10 days ago. I guess 8 days ago. It also wasn't unexpected. He lived hard in his life. I think he smoked for about 50 years. He drank for... Hey. The dog is going to ruin this. No. He drank about as much as you can drink as a person for 25, 30 years, something like that. And so he went into the hospital with pneumonia, but he had COPD. He had worked in an aluminum factory for 40 years or something like that. He's from Spokane. There's a big... like aluminum ore factory processing plant out there called Kaiser Aluminum that I don't know what the like actual, if there's negative health outcomes attached to it, but I just know manual labor in a setting like that it's tough on you. It's tough on your body. I worked manual labor for a short time in my life relative to my Uncle Bob, my Uncle Rick, who's also passed, and my grandpa, who's also passed. They all were career employees of the union out there. And that was the job. And those guys, you know, they got in while it was good. I don't even know if they do it out there anymore, but they were like always feast or famine. These guys were like on strike a bunch. They were, you know, it was a pretty good job for the place. Spokane is relatively inexpensive to live. At the time, didn't have a ton of opportunity. I think it's doing better. The point is, my Uncle Bob, I met him in earnest as like where I have memories after he was sober, basically. I think I was probably like 9 or 10 years old. And we still didn't see a ton of him. The majority of my memories of my Uncle Bob are when I was a teenager or a young adult. And they're basically all good. He was... a grumpy guy, which I admire. He's a pretty liberal guy in Spokane, Washington, in the 1960s and 70s. My grandpa, actually, I've talked about it a little bit on here, I have a joke in the works that I've talked about it. But my grandpa adopted a black son in Spokane, Washington, in the 1960s or early 70s. I don't know what the exact year was, and that was like pretty unheard of. Spokane is not a place, especially back then, that was particularly diverse, and it certainly was not particularly tolerant. And that was my uncle's best friend, my Uncle Lanny. Uncle Lanny's still with us, but I now have on neither side of the family, I have no surviving uncles. My dad and my mom both only had brothers. No surviving uncles, no surviving biological grandparents. I should say biological uncles, because my Uncle Lanny's still with us. And I also have, by the way, I have family members that I've called uncle my whole life. And honestly, most of those people I'm closer with. I have a complicated family dynamic, I would say. So, but I love my Uncle Bob, and we got along, and we had, I would say my Uncle Bob had one of the best senses of humor in my family, which is I was kind of cool. He got to, last year I headlined Spokane Comedy Club July 4th weekend, and he got to come, brought some friends of his age to come see me headline the club, which is pretty cool. I don't know if they loved it or not. He was very supportive. He thought it was good, but he has a good sense of humor. You know, people that age, they're hard to predict. I don't know. Maybe his friends all hated it. My Uncle Bob, he also, I think he was married and divorced at least twice, maybe three times, maybe four times, and dated his fair share of women. The man lived hard. I would not say what he had was a particularly hard life overall, but he lived hard. So, one, he was in his early 70s. Two, he has all these, you know, health problems that are somewhat self-inflicted. I mean, I don't even know if somewhat. He has all these health problems that are self-inflicted. So he went in with pneumonia. I don't think anybody expected him to die. But I think with a guy with all those complications, you really know that that's a possible outcome. And so he goes into the hospital. He goes into the ICU. Although these details are somewhat hazy, and I don't need to spare. I mean, I don't need to provide anyone with more detail than is necessary. But he goes in the ICU. My cousin Phil, his son, is, you know, going every day, making decisions, making tough decisions. He makes it out of the ICU. He's out of the ICU for 4 days. And kind of starts declining the whole 4 days that he's away from all those machines and shit. And then he was like talking and good and all that. And then he had I don't remember the exact timeline, but he ends up with sepsis. And I think that's ultimately the thing that takes him out. He had a tracheotomy while he was in there, so it was kind of tough because I went and saw him. Mother's Day weekend, and he couldn't talk. You know, I talked to him. I was told him I loved him. I had my cousin. The day before he died, I had my cousin tell him that he loved him. I had my sister and my mom went and saw him the day before he died. You know, it kind of was headed that direction. We all kind of knew at that point. And it was. So, yeah, there's going to be a podcast coming out next week where I argue with Adam Tiller a little bit on the podcast, and he'll be on my podcast at some point. We are cool. The podcast has a very argumentative tone, and I will tell you this, folks. I went and saw my uncle. So We did this podcast immediately after I had visited my uncle and I had had lunch with my cousin after that. So I see this man in an ICU bed. I've never been in an ICU before that I remember. Maybe I have. I think it was, I had a friend get in a car accident right out of high school. And we went to Harborview. So I don't know if that was technically ICU or not. But yeah, it's very stressful to see your family member, someone you love, in that situation. And then my cousin, who I hadn't seen. See, this isn't crying. I'll admit when I'm crying. If I got a little teary while I was, and I'm, you know, a little emotional right now. This is allergies, though, folks. I'm still a tough guy. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. So yeah, anyways, part of I guess what I have an opportunity to tell you that I was going through some shit emotionally, and then we got into a little bit of an argument the night before. But I'm not very good at vocalizing my emotions to people to like set boundaries and shit like that. I think I listened to part of the audio, and I think it is a compelling conversation, and you'll enjoy it. Go check that out next week, Fathom and Friends, the Fathom and Friends podcast. But you'll know, folks, loyal Nobody Likes Casey McClain listeners, I was going through it a little bit when I did that podcast. But so yeah, my uncle was, we had so many common interests. We had a great rapport. Great witty repartee. I have no idea what repartee means. That's the only time I've ever heard it used is in that exact context. My uncle reminded me, he was white, but he reminded me a little bit of Richard Pryor. His mannerisms and his speech patterns and the way he would tell a joke and the way he would, you know, be like funny, angry. That he reminded me a little bit of Pryor. And it might just be, nah, I think he had like a little bit of a Pryor vibe to him. I mean, less crack cocaine, but just a funny guy, good guy. You know, I feel like I said, I met him, I spent the vast majority of my time with him post sobriety, and I feel very lucky because I know that his pre-sobriety life has created some complications in relationships for him. And those people aren't wrong. I feel lucky that I never had to grapple with that in any way. I never had to know my Uncle Bob in that state. So, I mean, this isn't a eulogy. I don't know. It's just been what's weighing on me and what's been stopping me from... Every time I start doing a solo podcast, I feel like I should acknowledge this, you know, weight that's been on me, and I, hey, no, if you'd like, by the way, to follow the dog you hear barking, Elaine Bennis the dog on social media, hey, bathroom, Yeah, so he passed away opening day of Grit City Breakfast and what also houses the new Tacoma Comedy Club location. Hey, breakfast, bathroom, go. And so I didn't want to sully that time for anyone. Pretty happy time otherwise for me. I'm on the verge of a new child. It is close to my birthday. I do have, by the way, my birthday gets fucked every year. Oh, I didn't even talk about this. I didn't even get to this part yet. So rest in peace, Uncle Bob. Very funny guy. I wish, you know, I have this recording of my mom and I talking, and I really do think I have all this podcast equipment. I got to do a better job. I got to get some of these people talking on microphone. That's what I got to do. It's sad. It's hard to imagine that I'm going to go to Spokane and not... Every time I would go to Spokane, I would make sure to go have lunch with my uncle. You know, it'd be like an hour or two. Honestly, a lot of times, as a shitty millennial, by the time it was over, I was like, okay, come on, we can't... I mean, how many times are we going to talk about how shitty Trump is before, like, We're getting in an argument in a fucking Zips burgers or whatever. We finally went to this place. I think it's called like the Steer Inn Burgers or something. It was my uncle's favorite place. I had no idea. And then I asked my mom if she'd ever had it. And she's like, your Uncle Bob loves it. And the last time I went out there with him, we went there. We would go to like Red Robin, just generic bullshit. And I want to try the local stuff. I want to try the local Spokane stuff. So yeah, we got to try this place that he's been going since he was a kid. It was pretty cool. And yeah, it's gonna feel weird to be out there and not have that be like a major daytime activity. And yeah, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard the first time. But you know, it's like we all go through it. We're all getting older, folks. We're all getting older. Still haven't cried. Came close there. Still have not. But I do. It is close to my birthday. And I have so many birthdays. I don't really care about birthdays. And part of the reason is that I'm a 30, almost 37-year-old man. But the other reasons are like, I've had a lot of bad shit happen on my birthday. My 20th birthday, one of my childhood best friends, I would say my like elementary school best friend, his younger sister died, and that was the day of her funeral. It always happens on the fives. They're real bad. My 30th birthday, sorry, my 25th birthday was the funeral for my Uncle Wally, who died unexpectedly. He had a heart attack a couple years before, but was in like pretty good health, was like literally running 5Ks and shit like that, and had a, you know, unexpected heart attack and, you know, died unexpectedly. And so that was a pretty brutal one. That one we're still, I think, trying to, it was like 12 years ago, and we're still, I think, as a family, struggling to kind of figure out we have not moved on. I will tell you that. I think we honor my Uncle Wally. We do it literally every year. My aunt throws an event called Wally Palooza that's kind of like become our Christmas celebration, and it's wonderful, but it's, you know, we're all still struggling quite a bit since then. My 30th birthday, my wife planned like a big pub crawl. We were going to go to a bunch of bars. She had like, you know, organized a bunch of my friends and whatnot. And I woke up, I entered my 30s. I had a joke about this for a little while. I entered my 30s throwing up and shitting in my underwear that morning because I had gotten the actual flu or whatever the stomach thing is. I don't think it was food poisoning. It was the flu, but I was, it was absolutely brutal. Then my 35th birthday was in COVID, and now my 37th birthday this morning. Those of you who listen to the Poor Sports podcast are aware that I bought a Weber grill on OfferUp yesterday, and I had this chuck roast in my house, and I was like, let's christen this thing, let's figure out how to use it. I'm gonna use it as an extra smoker, like a little bit of extra space. I have a pretty good smoker right now, but a little bit of extra space. Also, my other smoker works as a grill, but it's not a great grill, so this is gonna be the primary grilling device. This beautiful, in good shape Weber grill as a smoker. I'm going to smoke this chuck roast, get this thing humming along, throw the meat on, literally had the meat on for probably, I don't know, 12 minutes. And I bend over, squat down to adjust the vent on the bottom of the smoker. And as I'm coming back up, my knee pops and I fall. Luckily, there was like a picnic table chair. It hurts so bad. I make myself fall on this picnic table bench. And I realize I can't put any weight on this leg and I can't even straighten it out. It is fucked. My knee is fucked. So I do my best, hop over to this grill. I try to close the vents as best I can because I'm like, I got to go to the hospital. There's no doubt in my mind. I got to go to the hospital. I got to figure this out. So I go, hop up the stairs to my, like, you know, back door of my house, hop through the kitchen, hit the ground, crawl to the living room, and I'm laying on the floor, and I have to call my dad. We go to the hospital. We go to urgent care. They're checking it, and they're like, you know, does it hurt when I do this? Nope. Does it hurt when I do this? Nope. Does it hurt when I do this? No. It kind of only hurts when I'm like trying to bend it straight. So the guy goes, well, that seems like kind of good news because you're like the tendon seems strong. Your leg seems structurally strong. So yeah, this is like kind of good news. And I was like, oh, great. Okay. But it still hurts like fuck when I try to straighten it out. He's like, yeah, I think we gotta, I guess, like, so basically he's like, it's probably a meniscus tear. We gotta go. Which I think meniscus is the it's not a ligament. It's not a tendon. It's like, I don't know what it is. I think it's like cartilage. But he's like, we gotta go. You gotta go to the ER or to the, not the ER, to the x-ray techs, get an x-ray, comes back, nothing. But I still can't. I get home and I'm like, I can't fucking bend my knee straight. And it's frustrating. I'm icing it and it's very, very frustrating. But I just can't get it straight. And so you can't really rest. And it hurts. And anytime it goes straight, it hurts. I have this big, stupid fucking pit bull dog and a kid that I'm like, now I can't pick my kid up. I have to call a bunch of people in my life. Because I was supposed to do a show tonight. Well, I didn't know if I was going to be able to walk because I was like on crutches at the doctor's office. Could not straighten out my leg. I go to the x-ray. They're like trying to push my leg. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? This hurts so bad. I got to get my mom. It's like a whole family effort now and I hate that. It really makes me feel like shit when everyone in my house has to do stuff. Everyone in my life has to do stuff to make me feel better, to like make my life run. I hate that. My mom has to go pick up my daughter from daycare because my wife has a doctor's appointment. My dad, I got to call him up. And on short notice, he came. Thank fucking God he was available. He's retired, but thank God he was available and in town because he came and I was like, I couldn't walk. I could hop a little bit. He's also got, he actually has some knee issues of his own. So he's, you know, a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of sarcasm in the urgent care. At one point, by the way, there were three dudes. So I'm in a wheelchair. That's how bad it was. Like when I got to the urgent care, they put me in a fucking wheelchair and I'm like being wheeled around. They wheel me out to the lobby and then they just like walk away. So like, you know, I'm like the entire lobby away from my dad. There's not like a huge lobby, so there's not a lot of space. And I'm just having this conversation at like full volume that everybody has to be involved with now because it's loud enough to get to them because it's loud enough to get to my dad. My dad is the furthest person away from me in this lobby. So anyway, I think the woman actually got pretty annoyed. She was going to leave my dad, two other guys, and a woman. And I think she got annoyed and was like, she was ready to leave the urgent care. And then they finally called her name. But then they bring these crutches out. And you guys have heard of mansplaining. Do I need to mansplain to you guys? We're in the lobby, and there's three men and a female nurse and me, and everybody is trying to explain to me in different ways how I should use these crutches, how to configure these crutches, how to make these crutches work, how they've used crutches in the past, how they like to use crutches, the way that it was most comfortable for them. Everybody's got their opinions. Everybody's telling me and this nurse and my dad and each other, arguing with each other, what's the best way to use crutches? Well, I've never used crutches before. I'll tell you this. I don't like them. Not a fan. Crutch out to my dad's car. Then we go. We had to go to a full-on hospital for the x-rays. I crutch my way down a big, long hallway into an elevator. I mean, I was getting like a real crutching masterclass on accident. Fantasy camp. Crutching fantasy camp. So I go to the x-ray, go home. It's fucking hurts. I ordered food. I had not eaten in the day yet. It was like 4 p.m. when I got home. I had not eaten yet. And I ordered a burrito to come to my house. And I have this... Nobody knows what's going on in the house, right? Like, no one knows that I have a table that I have on our porch. And I was like, I bet they're going to put it on that fucking table. Because if they put it on the ground by the door, which is where they used to put it, I could just crawl to the door, open, crack the door, bring it in like a fucking rodent, put it on my table, eat my lunch. And then I realized also, I don't have any water. I have no drink. And my only way of getting around this house is either hopping or crutching. Neither of these things are very conducive to carrying a drink. And so I crawl. The guy puts the burrito on the table. I crawl all the way to the door. I like fly, like reach out, drag the table to the door, making a big fucking messy, you know, mess of this loud, obnoxious, clumsy way of getting this burrito. I get the burrito, set it down. I go to get water, and I'm just like, it's tough to crutch around your house. My daughter's got shit everywhere. It's there's stuff in the way. Then you get this water and you're like, what the fuck do I do with this water? And if I decide I'm going to hop, well, now I got these crutches. Am I going to leave these crutches across the house for when I need them next time? Like, so I'm trying to maneuver with the keeping the crutches and keeping the water and hopping and not creating a problem. I literally knock a picture off the wall, get the water back. First thing that happens, it's like a tumbler. Tips over directly on its top, spills about half of it on the carpet, knocked a picture off the wall. I got so pissed off, I threw a child's food bowl, like one of those rubber bowls, silicone bowls that they have for kids, and I hit my liquor cabinet, which luckily it could have hit the liquor and it would have been a lot more upsetting. So I got to lay down. I'm icing this fucking knee. It hurts. And I'm like, I just feel like completely helpless. I can't bend my knee. I can't straighten out my leg. Hey, get over here. Come on. Okay, bathroom. 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 So, yeah, I just feel helpless. And I feel like, I'm like, I don't know. This hasn't really gotten that much better. I feel like it's never gonna get any better. And I'm looking it up, meniscus, leg straightening, and it's like, you know, yeah, sometimes this happens. Usually it's temporary. Sometimes it can last, you know, needs to be fixed with surgery. People can't bend their legs until they have surgery. And I'm like, well, fuck, it's probably gonna be at least a week of this. I can't even straighten out my leg. Like, what am I gonna do? I gotta piss in the middle of the night. I gotta crutch to the bathroom. And my wife makes dinner. Also, my wife is a fucking soldier because it's garbage day. Our garbage was full in the house. She's not supposed to lift over 35 pounds. I think it was probably not 35 pounds, but I try not to make her lift anything. She took the garbage out. She took the recycle out. That's normally a me job. And she did it like a fucking hero. But so anyway, she makes dinner, tuna sandwich. Very good tuna sandwich. I was very hungry, but it was a very good tuna sandwich. I will say, like, crawling around your house, hopping around your house, pretty good cardiovascular activity. I was sweating most of the day. And I'm, like, trying to just kind of ease the discomfort in my leg. And so I kind of lift my leg up and kind of let it sit under my butt. So my, like, toes are under my butt, kind of. And I'm my knee is very bent. We're eating. I finished my dinner. I was very hungry. Finished my dinner. And I go to just, you know, kind of let my leg down. And I reach the point of extension that I had been at before. No pain. I'm like, well, let's go a little further. No pain. So let's extend this fucking thing the whole way. No pain. Whatever was blocking my knee from bending. It was like, so I guess what happens is your meniscus tears and some shit gets into the part that like hinges. It's like, imagine if you took a door, you open a door and then you shoved a piece of cardboard into the hinge. And yeah, so that's what it was. And it came out. I think probably because I bent my knee all the way and it like had a chance to pop out or whatever. Very lucky. Very nice. It was going to be very distressing. I did have to cancel a show, but it looks like it's only going to be one show. I was supposed to golf tomorrow with a comedian named James Davis. I think we've worked it out that I'm just going to caddy for him. I might bring my wedges and stuff and swing a little bit, but anyway, that's it. It's not perfect. It's probably, the doctor said it needs to be completely pain-free before I can play golf. I'm not missing any more shows. Still opening for Josh Blue on June 16th. Doing a couple more shows next week. It's gonna be fine, folks. Very stressful, but it's gonna be fine. And it was very painful. And I lost the chuck roast out of the deal. So Uncle Bob and a chuck roast in a span of 8 days. Very difficult. All right, folks. I should not have ended with a joke about Uncle Bob dying, but I really did love my Uncle Bob. He was a great guy. But I do think that he was a smart ass. He would want me to be making jokes at his expense, and then he's, you know, unfortunate for him, he can't make them back to me right now. He also always called, he's a huge Mariners fan, probably watched every Mariners game for the last 25 years, oftentimes through the haze of cigarette smoke in his apartment, and he never stopped calling Ichiro Ichiru. I never understood why, and I still don't. All right, thank you guys for listening. Follow me at the Casey McClain. Please come see me do stand-up comedy. I'll talk to you later.